is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you here tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
All kinds of crazy stuff in the news, as always. Things are really kicking into gear, as I think we predicted here on Free Talk Live. Tomorrow, of course, officially the first day of winter, the shortest day of the year, December 21st. I believe that is the first day of wintertime. And right on time, right on cue, the Western governments of the world are cracking down. They're locking down. They are mandating vaccination passports, cranking up to require boosters. So all of these things are happening.
Yeah, nobody could have known that Fauci would say that some of the measures would stay intact forever.
Except nobody people did know. We knew. And we talked about it here on the show 6 months ago and 12 months ago and 18 months ago. And people called us crazy. Saying, oh, no, that will never happen. It's just 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and we're now going on, what, 3 years?
And yeah. There are certain kind of harbingers of things to come, and the biggest cities like San Francisco and New York City are, you know, the leading the charge into more COVID tyranny.
And well, Keene is right behind them. I mean, Keene is doing everything he can to be the little tiny copycat of San Francisco and San Diego.
I don't know.
It's not that bad, but I mean, if they could get their way, they absolutely would.
That's true. I mean, Keene is a leftist bastion in New Hampshire. It is not the freest city of all of New Hampshire. It is the place that you go to if you want to be, if you want to have some opposition, if you want to have a challenge.
One thing I would never thought that I would have said is that the cops in Keene are kind of the reason I think that they can't go any crazier with the mask mandates and stuff.
Because the cops don't want to enforce this, you mean?
Yeah, the cops don't want to enforce it. And the law that they came out with today, actually, has so many carve-outs, I think, just because the cops don't want to spend their time enforcing mask mandates.
And I haven't read it very closely, but as I understand it, this law is, at the very minimum, an improvement over the previous one, as this one doesn't fine the businesses for the behavior of their customers.
Correct.
It fines the individual. I mean, presumably for the behavior of their employees as well, it fines the employee or the customer rather than the business. And that's good. You should punish the person who, quote,
it's not good,
commits the crime.
It's better than last year is what you're saying.
Yes, it is a very small improvement,
now,
but an improvement nonetheless.
And it's not clear whether anyone actually did receive a ticket for it last year. I think that there was a few businesses that were intimidated by the code enforcement department on that.
I know of
question.
At least one was, maybe two.
But I don't think anybody actually ever got the ticket. So it never got to that point. No one ever actually had to go to court or challenge it.
Man, it makes me want to launch a business. Just I don't care. I'll sell cheap candles for Walmart for a penny over markup, just so I can say I have a store. We're not enforcing the mask mandate, and challenge the city of Keene to really come after me over this crap.
But that's the thing. They won't do that because they know we're going to take them to court because we already did. You and I and a local business owner here of a local pho noodle place that previously was called Pho Keene Great. Sadly, she had to change the name of the business recently. I guess she didn't have to.
She wanted to be nice.
There was like some sort of a court case with her former co-owner. And anyway, sad.
Now it's Funky Noodle or something,
right? Yeah, Funky Noodle or something. Yeah, so sad turnout as far as that goes.
I know, man. That name was glorious.
Such a great name. But anyway, so we sued the city of Keene and the governor over because he had a mask mandate at the time. This was back in September of last year. And then finally, in August of this year, so it literally took 11 months for any kind of ruling to come out of the federal court system on this question.
I mean, how much of that was the government's fault and how much of that was our attorney's fault, though?
It was the government's fault for the most part. I mean, our attorney filed the papers when he needed to file them, and then they just dragged their feet because, they're not in a hurry to make any kind of decision on anything.
No, the government's never in a hurry. It's not their lives aren't the ones that are affected by nonsense.
Well, they've got their own nonsense going on. I mean, you can't even walk in that courthouse without a mask on.
They went to a party the night that they had decided to instate the mask mandate.
You're talking about the city of Keene
council.
Council this year.
Yeah.
Allegedly went to a party. We heard this through the rumor mill And it's from a good source, I would say. So it probably did happen. So they all the counselors went and partied together, I guess, after they did this.
Yeah, there's nothing shady or suspicious about five city counselors, or 15, however many there are.
It was 13 that voted, I think, in favor. No, 11 in favor, 3 against, I think was what the... No, 10 to 3. There was a couple that weren't there.
That's actually better than I would have expected. I figured it was unanimous. But there's nothing shady or weird at all about all of these city councilors, you know, hanging out together at a party where there's no public eye, no accountability, nothing weird and about this whatsoever.
How much you want to bet they weren't wearing masks on the inside?
Oh, of course they weren't. Because it doesn't apply to them. The laws never apply to the people who write them.
So, I don't know where it was. Oh, yeah, I was going to say. So, it took them 11 months to finally come out with a verdict, if you will, in the case, and it was that they're throwing the case out. I guess that's not really a verdict, but it's a thing that the court did. Threw our case out, wrote like a 24-page opinion about why they were tossing the case out, which boiled down to basically, oh, well, Ian and Aria and Malaise, they didn't actually have any kind of damage from this.
Yes, we would have had to have been fined.
We didn't get the fine, so therefore they didn't have standing to bring this lawsuit. Case dismissed. So the fact that Malaise had two of her businesses go out of business, two of her restaurants, her very successful restaurants, went under during the COVID crackdown in 2020, that apparently wasn't enough damage for this judge to
well,
keep
for it
the case
to qualify,
moving.
It has to be direct damage, right? That's how the government
said,
escapes all of the accountability. You having to close your businesses because you can't bring customers in because they're terrified after 18 months of media propaganda. You can't sue the government for that because they didn't directly do it to you. But if they actually issued you that fine, oh yeah, and that's why they even though Malaise, the owner of Funky Noodle, rents from the city of Keene. And never enforced the mask mandate.
That's right.
That's why they never
fined her.
They left her completely alone.
And she's still going to continue to not enforce the mask mandate. That lady's a hero.
I went to a different restaurant today of one of the people who spoke out against the mandates. Mm-hmm. And he's just closed his entire lobby. It's just takeout.
You can't even go in and order?
Not if you order online. If you order via the phone, presumably you can go inside and pick it up.
Wow. But all the tables are closed?
Yeah.
Can't eat there? That sucks.
No indoor dining. Very frustrating.
That is awful. So, but you're talking about Keene. Keene is a shadow of, you know, a place like New York City. Keene is like the worst of New Hampshire, which is, for the most part, pretty unrestricted. I mean, to the governor's credit, he doesn't deserve a lot. But I suspect it's because he's facing re-election next year. He has not reinstituted a statewide mask mandate, and he has not reinstituted like half of the things or all of the things that he did during. There's no state of emergency, for instance, here in New Hampshire right now, even though the mainstream media is caterwauling about how the cases are record high in New Hampshire. They've never been this high before. Hospitals are clogging, you know, blah, blah, blah. The whole fear-mongering thing is going on hot and heavy. But for whatever reason, Sununu is just saying, no, we're just not going to do what we did last year.
It's because people have a short-term memory and they're going to forget about 2020 and just be like, oh, our governor was a good governor, good Republican, and reelect him.
He also said a year ago that the mandates weren't necessary because in New Hampshire, we can trust one another as our neighbors to do the things that are in our best interest and that won't harm one another.
And then he put in the mandates.
No, he said that's after he repealed the mandates.
Oh,
so it
how
would
convenient.
It would be very difficult for him to walk back that statement and go, oh, I was wrong. You people in New Hampshire, you're horrible human beings, and you won't be kind to one another without this mandate.
Well, I want to give you an update from New York City, and then we'll talk about New York, because these are the worst places to be as far as, I mean, California, it's giving it a run for its money. California's pretty bad. San Francisco, awful. New York City, maybe worse than San Francisco. But there is a mayor that has been elected. There's a mayor-elect, right? So they had an election.
Is this the Bitcoin mayor guy?
This is the Bitcoin mayor guy, right? Okay. Like, hey, he's a cool guy, right? Cool guy. He's into Bitcoin. No, he's not cool.
Yeah, I didn't think he was. Remember, he was like, I'm going to study the issue and we're going to see what New York City needs.
Yeah, a bunch of the New Yorkers apparently thought this guy was going to come in and undo what the previous or the current mayor, Bloomberg, has, who's an absolute tyrant and he's terrible. Now Bloomberg's talking about canceling New Year's Eve, which already is a vaccinated only event, but they're talking about canceling it now. Anyway, we'll tell you what this other guy has to say, because I guess he's taking office on January 1st. What's he going to do in New York City? It's Free Talk Live. It's It's Free Talk Live. Phones open if you want to join us here. 603-283-6160 is the number. That's 603-283-6160. We're raising funds for Give Directly. It is the first nonprofit that allows you to give directly to people living in extreme poverty. We're talking about some serious poverty. Like, you've got to walk 5 miles to get some potable water. That kind of poverty. We're specifically targeting Bemet and Kilifi counties in Kenya. And if you want to help some folks out, you can go to give.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live is matching your donations up to a total of $30,000. And so whether you do it sooner or later, we can assist there. And we are helping Give Directly. They have delivered over $400 million in the last couple decades to over a million people who really need it. Research shows that giving cash to people in poverty can help drive a range of important positive changes in their lives, like employment, nutrition, health, and education. Plus, cash allows individuals to invest in what they need instead of relying on aid organizations and donors thousands of miles away choosing for them. So if that's what you prefer, get on over to give.freetalklive.com. You can help these folks out in Kenya. That's give.freetalklive.com. We go to your phone calls, and then we'll talk about the mayor-elect in New York City and what he's got planned. Is he going to roll back the current mayor's tyranny?
Of course not.
Let's go to Ripple in Texas. You're on Free Talk Live, Ripple.
Yeah, I wanted to share a conspiracy theory about the vaccines with you guys.
Sure.
And, they don't appear to work for stopping the COVID virus. And
And that's what they kept telling us in the beginning was, oh, yes, this will stop COVID dead in its tracks. And now the narrative is, oh, it'll help you if you get COVID. It won't be as bad. That's what it's changed to.
Right. And we do know it's an experimental gene therapy. So why would they want to alter the genes of everyone on the planet? And my theory is that it's so they could harvest organs, so that they can make all the organs more compatible, so they don't get rejected by the host.
Is there any evidence that the COVID-19 vaccine affects people's blood types? Because that's the reason that organs generally get rejected, as I understand it.
Well, even if you have a blood type match, like the chance of rejection is pretty high, and they have to take drugs for the rest of their lives.
You really think that's what's behind this? They want to make it easier to transplant organs? I mean, that seems
like a good, benevolent thing, just done in a shady way.
No, I don't really think that's, but I just thought it would be a fun thought experiment.
But what do you mean by harvest organs? Like, you think that they want to make it to where they can take the organs to do nefarious things behind the scenes, not just help people who are in car accidents or something?
Right, like the aging global elite that needs organs to try to live forever.
Hmm. Yeah, I have heard something about those people like to inject baby's blood into their veins or something. That's apparently a thing. I've heard that our co-host Mark Edge is interested in that therapy. Hey, Ripple, anything else you want to share tonight?
No, that's all I got.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. The number here, 603-283-6160. Eric Adams isn't mayor yet, this according to Bloomberg.com, but New York City's mayor-elect plans to make changes to the city's COVID-19 response when he takes over City Hall on January 1st. And you can...
That sounds promising.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Well, it makes changes sort of suggest he's going to change course or something, right?
Oh, yeah. No, in reaction to the rapid rise in COVID cases.
Ah, see, yes, that's the other part of the sentence that...
And hospitalizations in the city this week. The mayor in waiting pledged.
A better idea. I just want to throw this out there. A better idea than doing anything he would have done would be not to fire 20% of your hospital staff.
Yeah, that would help.
That would be a better idea than implementing more mandates. Just stop firing your nurses and doctors.
Well, now, this isn't a mandate. He's got a pledge to create a new color-coded warning system. See, this is what people have needed the whole time.
I mean, it's that color-coded warning system that's kept us safe from Al-Qaeda for the last 20 years.
Right? You know what the current level is, right?
Isn't it always, like, high or something?
Wait, what are you guys talking about? There's an Al-Qaeda color warning?
There's a terror threat level. Yeah.
She's young. Yeah, they came up with some stupid color-coded thing. It's like yellow, red, you know, orange, and it all has to do with what the level of danger is from terror strikes or whatever.
Just in all of the United States? Or
I guess, yeah.
I mean, it was never below yellow, I don't think. So it's like the Australia fire hazard thing, where it high is its lowest setting, and then it goes all the way up to, like, cataclysm or something.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, and he even says, we're going to put in place a color-coded system that brings a level of clarity based on where we are, something similar to the terrorist alert.
Wow. But there already was something like that. I remember at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, here it is, from the Homeland Security Advisory System. It starts out at low and then goes up to guarded and then medium and then high and then I think very high.
Does it say where the current level is?
It doesn't. No. I'm sure I can find that, though. What is the current terror threat color?
Must be at some fear level, like you were saying, never lower than yellow.
We definitely already had something like that because of the beginning
of COVID?
Yeah, at the beginning of 2020, or you know, the middle of 2020, my sister was going to come visit me in Texas, and she was in Utah on a military base, and my dad wouldn't let her go because if she went to a place that was like a red zone, like San Antonio supposedly was, then my whole family would have had to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Oh, right, because of military requirements.
So there definitely was a color code. Like, I don't see how he thinks it's new.
Well, there are. I think there was a national level kind of color coding that they assigned to different areas of the country, like you're talking about. But this will be just for New York City.
So
New York City now has its own, or will, when he takes office in a couple weeks.
To answer the question about the current terror threat level, the whole idea, I mean, they wasted billions of dollars of taxpayers' money on this stupid idea. Mm-hmm. It's so irrelevant now that we don't even have a color-coded threat level. Mm. It's just a bunch of text. So that's how useless and irrelevant it is.
He says, if we hear green or yellow or red, New Yorkers should know automatically that this is a moment that we should be taking extra precautions.
Wait, so even green is extra precautions?
Of course. Adam said the
lowest threat level is high for a reason.
He said the city had to be more clear with residents about the threat of COVID. He said, quote, we have to speak in one language and a clear language on how we're going to push back on these increases.
So he's saying New Yorkers are stupid.
Oh, God, it's yellow. Probably. I'm scared. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. These people aren't scared enough, so we have to make them convinced that, oh, no, code yellow. Code yellow in New York City.
He also said he would consider implementing vaccination requirements for the city's 1 million public school children if his health advisors recommend the move, and you know they will, because I bet you they're the same health advisors that are advising the current mayor.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, is whenever politicians change over, people always think like, all right, we got the Democrat in, or all right, our Republican guy's going in. But the bureaucracy itself almost never changes.
You would think people would know that. Fauci was the guy under Trump and Biden.
Yeah.
Nothing changed.
And I think he's been there since, like, I don't know, the 80s.
These elected leaderheads are just that. They're just mouthpieces pushing the ideas that these bureaucrats give them.
Oh, and by the way, Trump apparently was on some kind of interview with, I think, Bill O'Reilly recently, and he's pimping the vaccine. So
because that's what the bureaucrats have told him to do.
Right. Well, I mean, he's not even in office anymore, and he's still, you know, toting the official line on the vaccine. So, like, you know, people thought Trump was somehow with them and, you know, against the system or against the swamp. It's like, come on, wake up.
They're all the swamp.
He's in on it.
All of them.
Yeah. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. But it's not just about New York City and what the plans are for the tyrant elect there. Bonnie's got a creepy story about what the legislature is going to be considering in a couple weeks there as well. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. Video.freetalklive.com. This is Free Talk Live. You can join us here if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I want to say thank you to a couple of our supporters on AMPS, which is the new way to support Free Talk Live. Advertise, market, promote, and support. That's what the money that you might contribute allows us to do. We ask for $5 a month, but some people go way and above the call of duty. And the gentleman tonight here, I want to point out, JCOM3030 is a new diamond level supporter. I added a new level since sometimes we get people.
I saw there were a few new ones, actually.
Yeah, that want to go a little higher than $25 a month. So I think diamond is $50 a month. So thank you, at least, JCOM3030. And also Michael Lamau. I hope, I'm sure I'm butchering his last name. He's also a platinum level. Thanks to the both of you guys. Definitely appreciate the support over on our new program, amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you over to our Patreon page where you can learn more about, you know, some of the perks that you get access to as a supporter. And one of those is the chance to win the upcoming BitBox giveaway that we're going to do on New Year's Eve. We'll be here doing an after show. So once the radio show is over at 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll take a little break, take the dog out for a walk or whatever, and then probably at around 10:30, we'll start up an after show called Freer Talk Live, which does not have the FCC restrictions because we'll be internet only, and then we'll do the BitBox giveaway somewhere in that episode as we ring in the new year here on Freer Talk Live. So the BitBox, by the way, is a 100% open source hardware wallet. So if you've got Bitcoin, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you definitely want to check out the BitBox. Go to box.freetalklive.com. You can get one for 5% off by using code FTL over at box.freetalklive.com. But if you're one of our amps, then you qualify for that drawing at the end of the year. So check out amps.freetalklive.com. We've been talking about the latest out of New York, and specifically New York City first, with the mayor-elect, Eric Adams, who made some headlines before he was elected for being pro-Bitcoin. He was saying he wanted New York City to be the biggest Bitcoin city anywhere, I guess.
Oh, Keene already beat him on that.
Oh, yeah. Keene kicks every other American city's ass. Now, there are a couple of international cities that...
Tokyo has a speed, I think.
No.
Really?
No way.
I thought they did.
With the population they've got in Tokyo?
Well, per capita, no.
Yeah, I always look at per capita.
Per capita, isn't it in the world that Keene is number one?
I don't know. It's been a while. I did update the coin map recently again. I went through and I did an audit of all of New Hampshire, and a lot of businesses had gone either under or...
We definitely beat Manchester and Portsmouth, so I don't see how we're not number one in the world.
I mean,
Portsmouth has probably gone under fast.
The last I looked, their Caracas was pretty solid in Venezuela. But then
that makes sense.
But then again, auditing that is hard to do, right? Like, because I can't easily call the, you know, Caracas vendors up and ask them, hey, you still take Bitcoin? So you don't know how many are truly accurate, whereas our number is actually
El Salvador accurate. Just doesn't count, right?
El Salvador shouldn't count because they're doing it by law.
Yeah.
So that's a great point.
Well, and it's also Lightning Network, so it's trash.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Fake Bitcoin.
And there's another city, the Ledger series that did the short documentary about the Crypto 6. The Ledger is another hardware wallet company that has a YouTube channel, and they did a really great 10-minute long documentary about the Crypto 6, which is me and Aria and Nobody and some other great people that we love a lot, that was a fantastic documentary.
It was very well done.
You can see it over at freetalklive.com. It's one of the posts from the last month or so. You can just scroll down the page and you'll see the video there. But if you go to that channel and you look at the previous video, it's about a city in somewhere in Europe. I don't remember where offhand.
Wasn't it Spain?
No, well, I don't think it was Spain. I think it was more the northern
Portugal?
Part of... No, I think it was more the northern part of Europe. But anyway, somewhere in Europe...
New Zealand?
No. where they call it like Bitcoin Cash City or something like that. Or Bitcoin
City. So
it's
a Bitcoin Cash Mecca?
I think so. And so I have not compared it. I did not go and check it, but it sounded like they've gotten a lot done there because there's an actual company that's going around pitching businesses on taking cryptocurrency.
Oh,
whereas here in New Hampshire, we just kind of, you know, we kind of do it whenever we can. And you and I, Arya, can't really do it as much because we can't actually spend it. I won't ask somebody if they take crypto if I can't actually pull out my wallet.
I know, man. It's such an
awkward
thing. I will still ask them especially if I know the answer is going to be no, just because I know that it's just one more customer for them who has asked them about cryptocurrency. And eventually someone like Chris Wade can go in there.
True. But I feel bad if I cannot do it myself. I don't want to ask him about it because then I feel like I'm being disingenuous.
Well, see, I would feel that way, but I'm still going to go back to that store if
true.
They take cryptocurrency, and I will just spend USD and give them, you know, USD simply because I support their taking cryptocurrency. And
right.
If the owner's there, I maybe even explain that to him. You know, it's like,
yeah,
look,
true.
I would love to use crypto here, but because the government is sort of cross with me at the moment, I can't do that.
Right.
So here's some dollars instead.
You don't think that would spook them to tell them that, you know,
I wouldn't put it that.
Yeah. They kicked my door in, pointed guns at me.
They did threaten to shoot me at one point, but hey, look, I support that thing.
It's worth it.
Good on you.
Yeah.
I would instead tell them, oh, yeah, you know, I forgot my crypto at home or something.
So,
well, no, because that would be a lie. I don't have access to it right now. There we go.
Hmm.
So back to this Eric Adams guy in New York City. He's going to be taking over the mayorship there after the current tyrant leaves on January 1st. He's talking about putting in a color-coded system for COVID fear, and then goes on saying he's considering implementing vaccination requirements for the 1 million public school children if... that is recommended to him. He's open, he says, to requiring booster shots for New Yorkers to be considered fully vaccinated and thereby be able to enter into bars, restaurants, and cultural venues. So it's a guarantee at this point. I mean, with language like that, he's basically saying he's going to do these things, right? Like he's just not committing to it. He's just saying...
He's waiting until a bureaucrat tells him to do it.
Right. Well, my health advisor said we need to have children vaccinated, that we need booster shots for all New Yorkers, so I, the mayor, am going to implement that. So he's not the official mayor yet. He doesn't have a health advisor yet, but on January 1st, he will.
And this is why the machinery of government never changes. No matter who people elect, they think, oh, Obama's going to go in and change it, but those people behind him, the advisors, never, ever change. People don't realize it. You know, they think, oh, we got a new mayor. Everything's going to be totally different, except the people telling that mayor what he needs to do are the very same ones that were telling the previous mayor what to do. And you expect anything to change?
Yeah, here he actually just spells it right out, like exactly what we were just saying. Quote, we're going to continue to have this soft touch to tell parents we need for you to vaccinate your children. But if we reach the tipping point that the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene is saying, Eric, we need to put a mandate in place for our schools, then I'm going to follow their advice, he said. If my Department of Health and Mental Hygiene says, Eric, we need to be mandating booster shots, I'm going to mandate booster shots.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm going to do whatever my handlers tell me to
right.
do.
I can't believe that they're even trying to say that they're the ones on the side of mental hygiene.
Or that they're having a soft touch at the moment in New York City in any way, shape, or form. So anyway, he takes over in less than 2 weeks at this point, and he's weighing whether to reappoint the city's current health commissioner. I like him, Adams said of Dr. Dave Chalinsky or Chokesky. He's one of the names we're considering. So I guess he could, if he wanted to, put somebody else in the position.
In one of thousands of positions that are constantly advising him.
He's probably just another talking head. I'm pretty sure even like Fauci's just a talking head for his bosses.
Also true. I mean, for every mayor, there's 1,000 bureaucrats behind him telling him what to do, and there's 2,000 bureaucrats behind those 1,000 bureaucrats telling them what to do, and then there's 5,000 behind those.
Oh, and then he points out something that we've heard before from the prime minister of places like New Zealand and in Australia, where they've been using this excuse. There, he says, I don't want my city closed down again, and it's going to take a lot for me to close down the city again. So what he's saying is he wants to manage the cases through mandatory vaccinations.
That's not at all what he wants to do. He just wants to put it off so that he doesn't sound like a bad guy. Yeah. He's going to shut down New York City. Absolutely. All of these people saying, I don't want to do it, but if it comes to it, they're just going to do it eventually.
Well, yeah, and he'll say eventually, well, you guys made me do it because you didn't get the vaccines when we said to get them. If y'all had just gone out and gotten to 99% vaccination,
I totally understand it. I made my last boyfriend punch me because I talked back to him.
There's more coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. Phones open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
So we're giving you some the updates from one of the worst places to be in the United States, New York, and specifically New York City. We're going to move out from New York City and look at the whole state and see what sort of awful things they have up their dirty sleeves. But before that, we're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts here again. 603-283-6160.
I can't imagine how bad New York City really is now. I mean, even before COVID-19, New York City was an abysmal, dreary, awful place in my experience. It was just full. It's like our Matrix server if it was a city.
Did you go there?
Yes.
What brought you to
the city?
I
passed through briefly. The very first time I came through New Hampshire, actually, mm-hmm. Muslims for Liberty needed to pick up some clothing at an Indian shop on 7th Street. So we ended up right there.
Where was that? Like Queens or something?
In downtown. Downtown is all I know.
See, there's different boroughs, right, in New York City. So you got to get the 7th Street could be in Queens, or it could be in the Bronx, or it could be in Manhattan.
It wasn't in the Bronx. I remember that because we passed through the Bronx upon leaving.
Did it look kind of like upscale and fancy?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then it was probably
definitely
not Manhattan. Not that it looks that fancy in Manhattan, but it's nicer there a little bit.
The very first thing that happened when I got there was observing two very heavily accented New Yorkers having a very loud, animated argument about a parking space.
Oh, okay. Welcome to New York.
It's Seinfeld 100%. Very first thing that happened to me in New York City is, yeah, I got to see that.
That sounds believable. Did any cops choke somebody for selling cigarettes while you were there?
Not while I was there.
Okay. That happened there, too.
It did.
Yeah. So we can continue here with the latest tyranny from New York. Because remember, things that happen in New York and in California, they tend to spread. And indeed, Boston is now announcing a vaccination requirement for indoor activities. We can tell you about that, too. But first, Sam is on the line in Ohio. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sam. Sam? In Ohio? Going once. Sam in Ohio going twice. All right, well, see if we can, maybe he's in a bad cell or something. We'll give him another chance in a bit. So, Bonnie, you've got a pretty creepy story out of New York State. Now, normally, generally I have a policy against talking about potential legislation just because most of it, you know, a lot of it doesn't happen, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff that's proposed in front of any legislature, and most of it probably doesn't get passed. But every now and then there's something that is so bad and so potentially egregious, and since it's New York, so likely to pass. What do they got, Bonnie? What's going on?
Basically, they want to turn New York into Australia, like Australia number two.
Mm-hmm.
Says, this is from Reason, and it says, New York bill would let the state put people in detention if deemed a significant threat to the public health.
And they define a significant threat to the public health as being someone who is unvaccinated?
I think they can define it however they want.
It's just up to the governor's discretion, yeah, in the wording. It's so vague.
Well, governors have never abused their power in the past, so it'll be fine.
New York lawmakers are mulling a bill that would allow the state to detain anyone carrying or suspected of carrying a contagious disease that makes them a significant threat to the public health.
Right. Now, we know that COVID isn't a significant threat because 99.98% of people who actually contract it, those at least we know have contracted it because there's a bunch of people that contract it.
Yeah, I'm not counted in their statistics, right, and I got COVID for sure and survived just fine.
Right. So of those who are statistified about their contracting COVID, 99.99 whatever percent, they beat it. So it's not a significant threat to anyone, But that's not how the government is treating it. They are acting as though this is the end of the world and that all COVID is dangerous and that people are dying left and right. And so therefore, they are absolutely going to say that anyone who has contracted COVID or, as you said, suspected of contracted COVID is worth putting into these detention camps.
Yep. Democratic Assemblyman N. Nick Perry of New York's 58th District spearheaded Bill A416, which holds that the government may order the removal and or detention of such a person or a group of such persons in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegee. I've never heard the word delegee.
Someone to whom you would delegate, I suppose.
Okay. So essentially they're saying that the governor can decide to put you in a hospital or some other,
camp,
quote, designated area.
Something they haven't come up with yet.
Well, they'll start with a ghetto.
Well,
right?
it'll be appropriate.
Well, yeah, a ghetto would totally be appropriate for the downtrodden, the outcasts.
The diseased.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. The undesirables.
Well, New York City's got plenty of like empty old tenement buildings or whatever.
Yeah, those are perfect. Right,
that's where all the homeless people are shooting up drugs and stuff.
Probably rats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All that.
Yeah. I mean, it'll work just fine. And nothing like this has ever happened in human history. So nothing to be concerned about.
Except what's happening right now in Australia, because that's happening now. By the way,
in New Zealand.
Before you go on, oh, is it happening? They've got the quarantine camps there too.
Oh, I thought that it was.
I mean, I would believe it if you told me they did.
Yeah, they're as bad as Australia, so they probably do.
I haven't seen it myself. There was some TikToker, I guess, who did a little tour of her Howard Springs resort down in Australia, which is like the main quarantine camp that they've been promoting. You've seen the pictures of like the girls in bikinis out on their front porch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like this whole propaganda campaign about the quarantine camps and how like it's not that bad. This girl walks through her.
I mean, I can show you countless of videos of Uyghur Muslims saying that being in Chinese prison, being reeducated, really isn't that bad. They're thankful for the experience
because the Chinese government told them to.
Yeah. Why would I believe anything different here?
There really are videos of the Uyghurs saying stuff like that. Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Yeah, I think it was actually Jeremy Kaufman, one of the board members of the Free State Project and the creator of Library, who pointed this out. He said, if Hitler had, you know, was around today and, you know, Hitler was doing his camps today, he would be paying TikTokers to, you know, go through there and talk about how they weren't so bad, right? Like, that's literally what's going on.
He'd be like, hey, well, give you some extra rations tonight, but you gotta make a video about how well you're treated here in this concentration camp. Hitler would absolutely be doing that.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that the Australian government is running concentration camps or anything like that, but I'm saying they're no more trustworthy than was Nazi Germany. They've all got the same goals. Every government has always had the same goals.
Well, I'm going to say that they are running concentration camps because by definition, they are concentrating people in camps. Well, now, they may not be executing them at this point.
You can trust them, Ian. Listen to this. They're being really responsible with their power in New York.
In New York, okay.
A confirmed carrier would be released only after he or she is no longer contagious, and a suspected carrier could be set free only when the government proves that he or she is not infected with or has not been exposed to such a disease. So it's fine.
You'll be our prisoner unless you submit to a COVID test.
Yes, that's right.
And then you have to test negative.
Yeah, and we will keep you for as long as we feel like it.
And the government has to prove that you're... Hold on. The wording of this is confusing. This has to be unconstitutional. They have to prove...
It's an emergency, so it's okay. The Constitution doesn't apply.
Yes, but it's their job to prove that you are sick. It's not your job to prove that you aren't, right?
Well, they will force you.
Right, but that's...
Or you'll stay there forever.
That's the unconstitutional part, right?
Well, it's a state
of
emergency.
It's an emergency.
Haven't you ever heard of the state of emergency doctrine? All the government has to do, the government gang, they just have to say, it's a state of emergency!
It's for the common good.
Then... the Constitution doesn't apply anymore.
See, and the Constitution sucks anyway, but even if it did work, it was not framed with the idea that anyone in the government could just go, oh, no, this is too serious. That Constitution thing no longer applies. That was never intended to be possible within the parameters of the Constitution. Obviously, the Constitution didn't work, but that entire mindset is unconstitutional itself. But again, the Constitution sucks anyway, so screw it.
Those who may have been in contact with the alleged carriers may also be detained and released when they test negative for the malady in question, or if the suspected carrier was...
Hold on.
So they're not limiting this nonsense to COVID-19.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is open-ended, right, as far as what this could be.
It doesn't say anything about COVID-19.
Yeah, it's going to be used first on the COVID cases. And what they're talking about with the contacts, that's exactly what they're doing right now in Australia.
Yep.
They will arrest anyone who has come into contact, allegedly, with someone who has COVID. And how do they get that information? They talk to the person. Like, who'd you talk to recently? Oh, I saw my aunt and my uncle and my boss and my, you know, whatever.
They're coming with me.
The bartender. You know, then they just go and they grab all those people. And the way they have that written, that sentence that you just read, Bonnie, I don't know if you can read it one more time, but the way it's written, it says like, oh, it just sounds like you'll just get rounded up, tested, and released if you... No.
They'll be detained and released when they test negative.
Yeah, but remember, if you just came into contact with somebody, you might not test right away, right? Like, can't it take a few days for you to kind of start showing the evidence on the test?
All the more reason not to talk to cops.
Yeah, exactly. More coming up here in moments. They're probably going to do what they're doing in Australia and keep you there for at least 2 weeks. More coming up.
Is your broken heart stopping you from being authentically happy? My name is Jeremy West, and for a limited time, I am running a free online class to teach you what most people don't know about how to deal with your feelings, the simple way to deal with your negative thinking, the key to breaking your unhealthy relationship patterns, and so much more. No more feeling like a failure who will never find true love. No more self-medicating and ending up feeling even more miserable. And no more feeling like you'll never be someone who deserves an amazing partner. Sound good? You'll discover a new way to finally feel validated and loved, to stop trying to get your self-worth from the very people who tear it down, and to put you in control of your own happiness so you never surrender that control to another person again in as little as 8 weeks. Register now for my free online class at beyondyourbreakup.com/free class. That's beyondyourbreakup.com/free class.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join us. Your number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Okay, so you can bring up anything that you want. We're talking about the worst of the worst right now as far as the United States is concerned. That's New York. And New York City, specifically, where the new tyrant-elect in New York City is planning on, sounds like, doing whatever it is the health department tells him to do. So get ready for a booster shot, New York City folks, and also whatever other ridiculous ordinances
and
mandates.
It's only a booster shot. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, don't look at the Australian government or the Israeli governments now saying four shots to be fully vaccinated. It's just a booster, or who is it that's saying 45 days for a new booster shot?
No, it was the UK cutting it from 180 to 90 days.
Well, every 90 days you have to get a booster,
get a
so it's
booster.
Not like
that's right.
Capped at any amount of boosters, just
forever.
Ad infinitum?
Yes, that's right.
That's going to make AstraZeneca so much money, man.
No, it's all about health. It's not about money. No, that's so cynical. I mean,
the officials who are pimping these things, the Anthony Faucis of the rest of the world, have deep, deep connections to these companies like Pfizer and AstraZeneca.
Oh, I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Look, if Fauci doesn't own Pfizer stock, then you shouldn't take him seriously.
I don't take him seriously at all, no matter what.
Right,
he
but
says.
The average person does, yeah. Right? So he definitely owns Pfizer stock.
For sure. All right. So we're going to get back into it, though. In fact, Bonnie's got more about this creepy law that, you know, it's New York, so it seems like it's probably going to pass.
I think it's like a bundle of laws. We might have only one article about the one law that's going to let them put people into camps.
This is House Bill number 416.
Yes.
They're not using the word camps at this point. They're using appropriate facilities or some terminology like that.
Correct.
But ultimately, I mean, we know how all this goes down, people. We've seen it over and over throughout human history.
Well, it'll be different this time. It'll be nicer. It'll be a really nice place.
Yes, because they never thought of putting these horrors in the context of making society better by getting rid of the undesirables. That's a totally novel idea.
It's just 2 weeks of your life. I mean, it's for the good of the people. You just have to hang out at this cool facility. You get, you know, electricity.
We got a ColecoVision hooked up in the back, man. It's cool. It's awesome back here.
They had that, actually. Not a ColecoVision, but when I was in jail. When I was in jail, I didn't actually get to see it in my cell block or whatever. I was in the lockdown, right? Like 23-hour lockdown. But in the cells next to me, there was a window so I could see what was going on in their day room. They actually had like a cart with a television on it and a Sega Genesis.
Wow. You know,
like a mini Sega Genesis on there. So while you were out in the day room.
How did you get that approved, man?
You could play video games in jail. So, hey, good times.
There are worse things, right? I would rather not be playing Sega Genesis in jail, but if you're going to be in jail, it's not a terrible thing to have access to a Genesis that you can play every once in a while.
Yeah, but it's still jail, and you don't get to choose to leave. And in Australia, for instance, there were some teenagers that actually scaled the fence at the Howard Springs facility. And
I hate that they named it, because that suggests that this thing is permanent.
Oh, yeah. No, it was actually not built by the government. It was built by some corporation. They had miners or something that were camped out there. And so the government, as I understand it, is either leasing or has purchased that facility from that corporation. So it wasn't
sort of like they used old Walmarts for the FEMA camps here in the United States.
Yeah, except those would be much worse, because this was actually, you know, private companies' facilities. So it wasn't so bad, right? Like, they're kind of manufactured housing looking, kind of trailer looking facades on the housing that
somewhere
they had.
Like the FEMA camps they used in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, when they, here's a trailer, there's no electricity, there's no running water.
No, I think those were like leaching chemicals into the people that were staying in them, and they were toxic or something like that. No, these were actually built to some standard of corporate, you know,
wasn't initially designed to be a government
facility. That's what I'm trying to say here.
But whenever they need more, I'm sure they're going to be leaking chemicals on people.
They're building government ones now. So they didn't have the government ones when this whole thing started.
We didn't know that the chemicals in the shower were going to kill 6 billion people. We just had no idea. That totally caught us off guard.
Let's go to Sarah. She's on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
I want to talk about Noriega in Nicaragua. I don't know much about him, but as long as I'm demonizing him, he must be a communist revolutionary that has turned president of that country. I mean, do you think that my hunch is right?
Okay, so I had to go look this up.
You don't know anything about this guy except his name, presumably, and you're like, my gut tells me he's a communist dictator. Is that correct, Sarah?
Well, I mean, communist revolutionary. To me, that's not a dictator. To me, he's a hero.
Hold on. Okay, so Sarah, why did you even bring this guy up, number one? I mean, he's been dead for several years now. He died in 2017, apparently.
Oh, he has passed away? I think they were talking about Nicaragua in a little while. I mean, a while ago. That who's the president now? I mean,
Idea.
Is she talking about Chile? Because there's this guy that apparently took over Chile.
No, I don't know if he had any involvement in Chile.
Well,
but
whoever their president is now in Nicaragua, my gut tells me he's probably a communist revolutionary.
He's probably a bad guy. But Sarah, we know from your previous calls that you are a communist. You're a self-professed communist. And I would think that you would know, if you were going to call in about this guy, that you would at least know that he apparently was just an authoritarian dictator, and he was, according to a different story at wessexscene.co.uk, they describe him as an anti-communist ally of the United States who lost favor, ultimately being incarcerated later in the United States, because, you know, that's how the U.S. government is. They always turn against their tools.
Well, she didn't know it. She was going off of her gut feeling.
Yeah, so apparently Noriega was, according to the story here, Wikipedia, he was an authoritarian ruler of Panama, who amassed a personal fortune through drug trafficking, had longstanding ties to the U.S. intelligence agencies. Before the U.S. invasion of Panama removed him from power, they then took him to trial in Miami, sentenced to 40 years in prison. He served 17 years after a reduction in his sentence for good behavior, and then they turned him over to the French, so he didn't even get out. Like, they literally, on the day he got out of U.S. prison, they extradited him to France, where he then served even more time.
Sir, I want to come back to the question of why did you call in and ask about this guy?
Well, is there something about him on the news of some kind? I don't know. Always when they demonize somebody, they're usually a communist hero that turned president. I mean, that's what I'm assuming. But I never knew the detail of the story that you're talking about. But the whole thing is that, as we know, the media twist everything around. When somebody says they're bad, they're usually the good guy. And so they.
Well, it is definitely true that you shouldn't believe the media whenever they tell you something. So that's probably a good general thing to keep in mind. But that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody that the media doesn't like is good. There's a possibility that the media doesn't like that person, and they're also a bad person. It's just that they go against whatever, you know, the politicians of the moment in the United States are wanting, and so therefore the media would be against that person. But they could also be their own little tyrant in whatever country that they're ruling over. So, for instance, this guy
was a tyrant.
Well,
the media tells us that the U.S., not the U.S., the Egyptian military's general, he's a fine, upstanding guy. This wasn't a coup. But yet, the Egyptian government did, in fact, execute a coup, take over their entire country, and now it's a military dictatorship.
The military did, yeah.
And the U.S. media is like, no, it's not that. He's a great guy. Everything's fine.
Yeah, so you definitely, I mean, that much is true. You should not trust what the media says. Sarah, thank you for the call tonight here, but I got to say, you know, every time she calls in, it's like, girl, get down to the damn library.
It's free. You should love it.
And use the computers and try to research something once.
She said, she wasn't on the show when Sarah explained why she doesn't use the library computers. It's because they're dirty.
Oh, see, I would have figured it was because they were sent here by the devil. That would have been that's what my gut feeling would have told me.
I don't think she's religious. I mean, she's a communist.
She worships a state then.
Yeah. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Speaking of states, the New York State's one of the worst, and we'll tell you more about what they've got planned for COVID quarantine camps coming up. It's Free Talk Live. Open phones. You join us. Bring up whatever's on your mind here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Bonnie was sharing with us a creepy potential future for the state of New York. We told you. You know, and I don't like rubbing this in. It doesn't make me feel good to say this because it's awful what's happening to the people there.
We should be getting shunned right now with people playing clips from, you know, us warning people about this 18 months ago to say, look, we told you you were overreacting. It's not that serious. They're not building concentration camps. Now, calm down. The government's not this big, evil, monstrous thing that's trying to do these things. But no, we were right.
And we told you to get out while you still can. And at this moment, you still can.
And see, the other night, you weren't on, Aria. We were on with Chris. But Ian and Chris and David Olson from New Mexico were all arguing with me that the people who got kicked out of a Panera Bread in New York City are the same thing.
You're talking about Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory in New York City for not being vaccinated. And they refused to leave. They wanted to force the servers to serve them. They all said that was the same exact thing as the sit-ins of the early 60s that black people were doing at, like, Woolworths or whatever in Birmingham.
No, we talked about that to an extent, and we determined, or at least I determined, that a key difference there was the Woolworths protests were against store policy because it wasn't a Jim Crow law. Those had been repealed the decade prior to that.
I did that backwards.
And these are protests against a city mandate. So that's a key difference between them. But there are a lot of similarities.
But
I will give that.
This is my argument. the people in New York City right now who all they will ever stand up for, their line in the sand was going to Cheesecake Factory. they can still leave, and there's not a culture of the whole United States that is, you know, there are places in the United States where you can eat at Cheesecake Factory or whatever without being vaccinated. And I just think it's a totally different thing. Everybody who's still in New York City and acting like this is just suddenly happening to them.
Instead of the sit-ins that you were talking about, why wouldn't those people just leave?
Well, it's like
why
a culture.
They come to a state?
That's what she's saying, right? Just leave.
Well,
are
no,
you saying the people who did the sit-ins should have left?
No, I'm saying that back then
that
they could have went to like the North, and it would have still been a culture of people who needed their minds changed about Black people being not second-hand citizens or second-class citizens. This is something totally different because there are places in the United States that still will let you eat at a Cheesecake Factory.
I see what you're
saying. Without being
there.
Vaccinated, and you're
but
just being lazy.
But there would have still been places back then that would have let them eat in their restaurants without being treated like second-class citizens. You know, finding one restaurant that they can go to somewhere in the United States doesn't mean it's not a problem that they can be addressed.
There are whole cities where you can do whatever you want unvaccinated in the United States. It's a majority.
Right, but she's talking about back then.
There's not a majority.
There were certainly entire cities back then where a Black person would have been treated as an equal citizen.
That's what I was trying to tell Bonnie.
Probably New York City or San Francisco or something.
Even Captain said that in the 70s there was intense racism in where he lived in Wisconsin. It was just, it's a whole culture that needed to be changed.
He lived down in the boonies or whatever in Wisconsin. I mean, there's always going to be rednecks, you know, everywhere you go in the United States. Country music's the number one music format out there. And I'm not saying everyone that listens to country is a racist. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving an example here of, you know, what's common out there. But I got to agree with Aria on this. I mean, there's a reason why escaped slaves were funneled to the North, because they were generally better accepted up there. That's not to say they wouldn't encounter racism. They still might encounter it in certain places today.
Well, yeah, right now there's not even a whole state where you can't go out to eat unless you're vaccinated.
That's true. There's not yet. But there will be. New York, I suspect, or California will start that.
You can just drive 30 minutes outside of a city and probably live into... I mean, in New York City, you can go to Long Island and eat at a place where you don't have to show vaccination.
I just think
that these people are just lazy, fat people who didn't care the last 2 years about any of these mandates that were happening. And
well, we don't know if they're fat. We didn't see video footage of the people at the Cheesecake Factory.
People who are this obese and docile usually... This docile and controllable is usually also obese.
Well, he was attempting to resist, right? Isn't that what caused him to be
the Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah.
Well, all the last 2 years, he's just lived in New York City thinking this is okay, this is okay, and this is his line in the sand.
Well, for all we know, he was fighting it 2 years ago as well.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know who these people are.
Activism, it only works if you have a large number of people, and that's why these sit-ins were effective, because there were a large number of Black people in the South who would take part in these sit-ins.
Yeah, literally hundreds. It grew very quickly to a large number. It started with 4 and then went quite fast from there.
The difference with these citizens in New York City is that they don't have those numbers,
correct.
And that's why they should get to New Hampshire, where we do have those numbers.
Well, we probably don't want these guys, honestly, because
they should go to Texas, I think.
Yeah, they probably better fit somewhere else, because these are city dweller types who, you know, they're of the mindset that, well, we deserve to be served and you owe us because we're members of the public and you have to serve us. So they have this sort of entitlement mentality that they, you know, these are just like undesirable people in general.
They're Karens.
A huge difference with the Black people in the South. They wanted Alabamans to realize that just because they're Black, they weren't a second-class citizen. I just don't think
the same thing. There's not that. No, as far as the sit-ins were concerned, they were also demanding to be served. They didn't say, oh, well, we're welcome at this, you know, other shop down the street, so we're going to bring our business there. They said, Woolworths has a discriminatory policy. We are going to make political hay out of that. And they did. And they successfully reversed Woolworths, got them to reverse their policy. So it was actually a very successful, sort of a protest that, again, was not regarding any sort of law, from what I understand. So it was kind of that similar, we're here, we're members of the public, you should serve us. So
yeah, for being born Black. I just think it's a lot different.
It's still wrong, though. I mean, if you're a business owner, no matter how disgusting I think it is, you have the right to say, nope, we're not going to serve trans people, we're not going to serve gay people, we're not going to serve Black people. They have that right. it's morally reprehensible and it's disgusting, but it's their right. I will take my business elsewhere that isn't owned by one of these idiots.
Right. That's what I would do, too. And I think that's what you were suggesting, Bonnie, is that, you know, they should just take their business elsewhere. And in the case of New York, that they should leave New York City and take their business elsewhere in that way. So I don't disagree with the conclusion is vote with your feet. But at the same time, what they were doing is tantamount to what was going on.
I'm just saying, last year, I agree that you should vote with your feet and that you should take your business elsewhere and all that stuff, except for the fact that, like, all of Alabama was like that. It's not like that any state in the United States right now for vaccinated people.
First of all, the sit-ins we were talking about was North Carolina. It wasn't Alabama. Now, they might have spread to Alabama, but the ones we were talking about specifically were North Carolina, the lunch counter. And so since the Jim Crow laws were repealed, that would suggest that there were. Now, I can't say for sure. I wasn't alive, and I wasn't living there at the time. But the suggestion is that some businesses would be integrated on their own choice. I don't think all of the businesses in Greensboro, North Carolina, were segregated.
No, that's it's why bad business.
That's why they picked on Woolworths, because they were. But if you were around back then and you want to weigh in on that, because that is the question, you know, what percentage of the businesses in Greensboro were segregated by choice? And was it 100%? Because I doubt it.
Was it as easy as driving or getting on a taxi and going 20 miles east to Long Island like these people at Cheesecake Factory could have done?
603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. Whatever you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live brought to you by Bitcoin.com. You ready to learn about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash? Then you can click Get Started at the top of the page over at Bitcoin.com. You'll find useful information in video format. If you're short on time, just watch the first one. It'll take you all of 3 whole minutes of your life. And you will get some of the basic concepts down, because there is a little bit of a learning curve. There are some new ideas that you do have to you should understand when it comes to cryptocurrency. You need to know why this stuff is taking off and why it's so special. So head over to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started. If you're not new to crypto and you want to get the latest news headlines, they've got those for you there as well on their news site, and that is news.bitcoin.com. So let's go back, Bonnie, to the story that you were sharing with us. It's been a couple segments since we were into it, but it's about this bill in New York State. And I think we all agree that people who don't like to be told what to do as far as vaccine passports and things like that, you have no future in New York City.
Yep.
And you have no future in New York State. If you want to, you know, if they're like a conservative type of person, get on down to Texas or Florida. You'll love it. It's warm, and there's a bunch of like police state loving
conservatives. There's huge cities
there
too.
Yeah, there's plenty.
So you can't say,
cities.
Oh, I can't
they
leave.
They can't
New York
go
City.
To Florida though. Cubans.
Why not?
And they're racist generally.
Oh,
you're saying the Cubans are racist, or
no,
the people from New York City?
The ones who we're describing who should go to the conservative types.
Oh yeah. Well, anyway, the point being, Florida and Texas tend to be pretty conservative kind of places. If, however, you are a liberty-minded person, if you are someone who understands the non-aggression principle, if you're a libertarian or a voluntarist or a liberty-loving anarchist, then there's no other place for you to go besides New Hampshire. That's where the largest community exists of freedom lovers and activists who actually care about freedom. So that's your choice. Or just stay in the city and then be subject to total tyranny. Now, also New York State, so just going to Long Island isn't going to solve the problem.
Yeah, New York State's deciding to do this in the whole state now.
Right, because
deciding on whether or not to do it.
Yeah, so you've got a story about a piece of legislation that's currently in front of the New York Senate. I had said it was a House bill. It's apparently a Senate bill that they're going to be looking at sometime in the new year. I'm not sure when, but wait a minute. Oh, 2021 through 2022.
It's going to be
decided on... It says this was filed on the 21st.
It's going to be decided January 5th, sorry.
That's this coming January 5th. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
This is from Reason.com, your story?
Yes, right. And it's Bill A416.
So just interestingly, this was actually filed a year ago.
Hmm.
This bill was filed January 6th, 2021.
Okay,
so that's weird. This thing's been working its way through the system, apparently. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, it makes it to where anyone, the governor or a delegee of the governor, decides is a public health risk or may have come in contact with somebody else who is a public health risk, it makes it to where they can be detained by the government until the government proves that they're not, they're not going to spread that disease. The article goes on to say, what could go wrong? The bill's language is noticeably vague in defining the parameters around disease type, leaving the government wide latitude in conducting its risk analysis. Should it pass, Governor Andrew Cuomo, but it's actually lady now.
When was this written?
On the 5th of this month. Yeah, the 5th of this month.
Okay, that's weird.
From last year or this year, though?
Oh, wait, this is the 5th of January. I read it wrong. What the heck? Okay, yeah, this was January 2021.
Okay, so we'll have to figure out what's going on with this thing right now. Anyway, go ahead with what else you wanted to say about this.
I don't know, this might be the wrong bill that I wanted to talk about and I got the wrong article. But anyways.
Well, this is the same bill that Nikki, who's one of our co-hosts, shared in a group chat with the host today. But it's possible that, you know, it's not hard to notice the date's wrong on a thing, or that, you know, you don't notice that it was from.
So it's not going to be voted on soon?
I don't know. Apparently this was referred to a health committee in the last year, according to the Senate website. So I guess it's kind of, maybe it's stuck there. Not clear. Apparently there are also similar versions of this that were introduced in previous legislative sessions, according to this story.
Which is at least hopeful, because if they were different versions were introduced before, they were shot down.
Perhaps.
Well, I mean, they had to have been. Otherwise, they would have introduced a new one. But they're just like they did with SOPA and PIPA, you know, the Internet Protection and Privacy
Laws. They kept on hammering it.
It's going to fail. They're going to rewrite it slightly, and they're going to try again, and they're going to rewrite it slightly and try again, and then they're just going to slip it into a $1.5 trillion infrastructure package, and people aren't going to notice. And if anyone does notice, they'll just go, oh, that's fine. That's just totally normal. That's how the U.S. government works. Of course we're sending $30 billion to Pakistan for gender studies programs in this infrastructure bill. Why wouldn't we? It's totally logical.
There was a news story, quote-unquote news story, produced about this bill recently as of, I guess, today. So Newsweek headline, Marjorie Taylor Greene falsely claims New York passed bill to forcibly vaccinate people. And according to, this is, I guess, some other, I don't know if she's like a U.S. rep or something. I've seen her name before. I think she's...
I've heard Marjorie Greene's name before.
Some sort of person in D.C. She spoke at something called America Fest over the weekend and told attendees that the New York House passed a bill that allows for unvaccinated people deemed a danger to society to be detained. And so when asked for comment about Greene's claim that they had passed it, the spokesperson for Greene linked a National Pulse story about the bill.
It has been a bill that's been considered for a while, because January 3rd, 2021, Politico came out with this article about it that said, long dormant assembly bill becomes subject of conspiracy theories.
Yeah. So,
well, there's no conspiracy here. Yeah. The legislature introduced a bill that would allow them to use public health as an excuse to arrest people, yes, and detain them.
And according to this story, the bill is currently in committee, so it has not been voted on by the state Senate at this point. Now, when it will come out of committee, I don't know how the New York system works.
Well, first they have to kick it down to the subcommittee committee, who is going to send it down to the subcommittee, and eventually someone will chop off a chicken's head, and depending on which part of the floor it lands on, they'll decide whether or not to pass the stupid thing.
I don't know how the New York system works, but if it's anything like the New Hampshire one, which I'm not suggesting that it is, but if it's anything like it, committees hear bills, they come back with a recommendation for the full Senate in this particular case, and then the full Senate votes yay or nay or whatever on whether or not this bill should move to the House. So in theory, that can happen at any time. I don't know when, I presume New York meets all the time, unlike New Hampshire, which is like a part-time legislature. So if it's like New Hampshire, then they meet in the wintertime, which means they're going to be meeting very, very soon, and they may take this bill off the table. They may actually begin serious discussion about it. But all of that right now is pure speculation on my part. So if you're in New York and you know how this stuff works there, you know, could this just be taken off the table this week and voted on, or is it going to be a few months? We have no idea.
I mean, that's another thing, right? Can't the committee just say, you know what, this bill has no momentum, we're not even going to consider it, we're just going to shelve it for now, and it just hangs back there indefinitely?
It could, yeah.
This article talks about how it was actually written for Ebola, and it got brought up again back in January 2021 for the passage, or because they wanted to pass it for COVID laws.
Right.
Is Ebola contagious?
Oh, Ebola is crazy contagious.
It will kill you, likely.
It's like way worse than COVID. If this was an Ebola pandemic, then way more people would die.
So was there anything else that you wanted to share from the story, Bonnie, that people should know about?
Actually, I don't mind sharing the whole thing if you want to go over it. It's still a bill that could happen in New York City.
Yeah, like I said, if there's something else in there that you thought was worth sharing, go right ahead.
It says the two-term Democrat Cuomo has navigated the COVID-19 pandemic with an array of inflexible regulations, from what food bars can serve if they'd like to stay open to how hospitals are allowed to vaccinate New Yorkers.
Now, obviously, the person at that time didn't know Cuomo would be gone by the end of the year. He is gone, but that doesn't mean anything has changed.
No, it's just a different figurehead now.
Right. The current governor, by the way, who was his lieutenant governor, Kathy Hochul, has now announced that she's planning to introduce legislation that will include a booster shot when they use the term fully vaccinated. So that's another thing that's coming soon to New York. It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything. We've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business or organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. And now Intercoin has launched its investor token worldwide. And for the first time, it's available on an exchange. You can go and get some. It's ITR over at xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. All you need is an email address to sign up for xmarkets, so you can keep your privacy intact. You can then deposit dozens of different cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, trade them for Tether, and then use Tether to buy the ITR, which is the Intercoin Investor Token. You can learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org and buy or sell ITR over on xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. So we just discovered that this bill in New York Senate is still sitting there. It has not moved in any meaningful sense. So whether that's a good
thing... Which is another nice thing about New Hampshire is that it can't just sit there forever in a committee.
No, they can retain things.
Oh, they can?
Yeah, they can table a thing and not do a thing about it if they want to.
Oh.
So that is a possibility when it comes to New Hampshire's legislation as far as seceding from the United States. If they want to be nasty, they could just, you know...
Yeah, but it's going to be hard to do that when that we have the auditorium packed with 200 and something anarchists who are like, "Hey, yeah, no, let's do this."
Yeah, I hope you're right, and I hope that we can turn those kind of numbers out for this thing. But you're correct. If there's enough political pressure on these guys, they're going to have to move it forward. But yes, they could, if they wanted to, vote to table a bill, and then in theory, it does have to come off the table, I think, at some point. But it might be like next year, so they might be able to kick the can down the road. for an extra year or something like that. And this gets into the, you know, the ins and outs of exactly how the political system works. And I'm not the right person to answer all the details.
That's because we don't care really how it works. I mean, it's just tedious and exhausting, and it's bureaucracies being doing what bureaucracies do best, which is red tape and dotted I's and crossed T's.
Right. So the mainstream media is, when they're talking about this bill, which I'm sure they don't talk about it very often.
They're trying to downplay it.
Dismissing it.
Yeah. And make it seem like, oh, it's just because it didn't get, you know, completely voted out of the system and it's still in a committee doesn't mean that it's a risk to you. It is totally a risk to the people that live in New York until they vote to get rid of it. But they're not going to vote to get rid of it.
You said it initially was written for an Ebola outbreak. What happened to it back when it was an Ebola measure?
It did not pass.
Well, Perry, who apparently wrote the bill, said Perry defended his bill on Twitter. "I'm an American who understands our Constitution is sacred and provides us with the right to agree or disagree and hold different positions on issues that may relate to our civil and constitutional rights. The legislation was originally introduced during the 2015-2016 session in response to the Ebola virus. Quote, this bill hasn't been actively pushed for passage because the Ebola threat was ended thanks to a vaccine, Perry continued. However, many learned scientists believe that the likelihood of such a deadly pandemic is still real, and somewhere in the future there may be the need for people to be protected from a person or persons carrying a very deadly and transmittable virus.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be fear-mongering to promote this thing, and certainly it has, I would say, a greater chance now of passing than it ever has.
Although, I tend to agree, just because the fear-mongering around COVID-19 is so intense. I mean, these people believe that crap, and the people who spend all of their time watching television and Fox News and CNN and just the commercials on television that are filled with COVID-19 fear, they're going to buy this crap. However, in my experiences with normal non-libertarian people throughout the last 6 months or so, they've tuned COVID-19 out entirely. It's not that they're no longer afraid of it or anything like that. It's no longer a thing they even recognize as being a threat. They got bombarded with it for 18 months. And after 18 months of that, it's like the Charlie Brown teacher talking to them whenever COVID-19 is mentioned. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that that's true in maybe Keene, New Hampshire, but it's certainly not that way in New York City.
Then you have plenty of people who are like getting off on the fear, right?
Yeah.
Because it makes them feel special. Like they're doing a great thing for their fellow human beings by getting the vaccination for the fourth time or fifth time.
Now, there's actually something interesting here. I'm on the New York Senate NYSenate.gov site with this bill pulled up, and I find it actually kind of surprising that they actually have open commenting on this page. So I think they've got like the Discus plugin.
They're not obligated to read the comments. So.
No, but it is interesting. Like, I don't think New Hampshire does that, where, you know, just anybody can go and comment on a page. I think they're using the Discus comment plugin here. Yeah, it looks like it. 17,000.
God, I didn't know that still existed.
So they've got a rating actually on this, which is interesting. So there's like a little smiley face, like two hearts with the eyes, and then just a normal smiley, and then like an angry looking smiley. So they've got like five different smiley faces here, and you can rate what you think about this thing. Of 103 ratings, it's currently ranked at a 1.1. I guess there's like a star rating, and then there's a smiley face rating. Anyway, ranked as one star out of five stars.
It's almost like kindergarten. You don't get a smiley face today. You get a star.
And
do better.
Interestingly, there's been a lot of discussion in the comments in the last 2 days. So, you know, when you look here, you can see when people's comments were posted.
Someone probably shared it on Facebook without checking the date, and all of their friends saw it and shared it without checking the date.
Right.
This happens all the time.
Yeah, this is getting passed around quite a bit, and you saw it on, what, Instagram or something?
Yeah. Well, a person that I know that lives in New York City posted a meme that says, A416 wants you to put you in camps.
And that is what it wants.
Like today.
According to, if you keep going down here, there's a jump. So like it's people within the last 48 hours, there's a ton of comments. And then after you pass that level, it jumps down to like 7 or 8 months ago. So there was a real lull for several months. And now this thing's, you know, people are once again paying attention. And I hope that they do pay attention, although I have no expectation that the Senate of New York is going to continue to reject this legislation.
Guys, we only got a star on this one. We didn't get the smiley face. We got to kill the whole bill.
Trash it.
We got that would be a better way of doing government, actually, than what they're currently doing, if they actually cared about what their article got rated.
I mean, there was a tweet on December 19th, 2021. Breaking report, New York legislation set to vote on January 5th, 2022 provides for indefinite detention of unvaccinated. So I do think that they're voting on A14 or 416. This is on Twitter.
According
December 19th. So I'm just saying.
Is there a source to it, or is it just some guy who also did not check the year?
There's probably somebody that didn't look at the date.
Yeah.
It's probably one of many people who saw January 5th and what they just didn't see. It was January 5th.
I mean, God knows I've done it plenty of times, bringing an article and they go, oh, crap, this was written a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I've done it a myriad of times myself. I mean,
if something's, blowing up on the internet, it's natural human nature to click and be like, oh, my God, this is terrible.
But the committee is assembling on January 5th, 2022. So are we sure that it's not getting voted on that day? That's what I'm trying to figure out. It's like impossible to Google this.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I know is it's in the committee. And if maybe you're right. Maybe this will be taken off the table. I guess we can say this. It's possible that the next time the committee meets, this could be voted on.
I will also say that if the New York State government wanted to implement tyranny and they wanted to do it without people being able to pay attention to it, the best way to do it would be to make it impossible to find information about it by Googling it. Hmm. Because instead you end up with this year-old article and not the thing that's actually upcoming.
That happens to be written on the same date.
Here's what I would say is mark your calendar. If you're interested in following up on this for January 6th, and then check this New York Senate website and see if there's any kind of status. Like, see if the status, because it tells you the current status here in Assembly Committee.
I would give it a week or so at least. I can't imagine the New York
Senate. You don't think
it'll
be updated the next day? Yeah, it's probably true. So yeah, give it another week. Check in with it.
It is a bureaucracy after all.
Yeah, and see what's going on. So thanks for sharing that tonight here, Bonnie. The number is 603-283-6160. It is something that people need to be aware of. And I will say
this. They had the idea.
Yeah, but it's not an original idea either. I mean, as you said, it's been going on for years now that they've been trying to pass this thing. But they already have in the state laws, state statutes in, I think, probably all the states. It wouldn't surprise me. They already have involuntary commitment statutes. Okay, so it's not like they can't just take people off the streets using quote-unquote public health as their excuse. This, I think, just expands that concept into actual facilities in which multiple people that have a thing could be kept. But there's already like state of emergency level stuff where they can force you into healthcare facilities if that's what they want to do. They already can do that.
Involuntary mental health confinement, man, it's such a difficult issue. Because, I mean,
yeah, it is.
There are some people who are insane, and
having dealt with an insane person and actually going through that myself once, being insane, it sucks.
Yeah. One of the places where the NAP just doesn't give you any answers.
No, it doesn't. You cannot use the non-aggression principle when it comes to dealing with an insane person. You just have to try to be as compassionate as you can and disarm.
Compassion is more important than the nap, certainly.
Yeah.
You're only temporarily insane. You made it sound like you're always insane.
No, I was for a time. It was more than a decade ago. And then I had to deal with somebody who was just as bad years later. More coming up.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining me tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Of course, you can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind on the way here. We're still focused a little bit on how bad things are in New York and how much worse they could get, but they're already really bad. So if you actually care about freedom and you're still living in New York or worse, New York City, you really need to ask yourself why. And you really should be honest with
because they're going to get Larry Sharp as their governor and everything's going to be different.
Yeah. Does anyone really believe that?
They clearly do.
Does Larry Sharp believe that? Does he actually think he has a chance
to
win?
He at least did at one point.
Well, he's running again, so I don't know what that means. But
it means libertarians have more money than common sense.
They don't seem to have that much money.
They don't have much for common sense either. But I mean, they have enough money to make to, you know, they funded his campaign a few years ago. So, I mean, That money would have been put to better use here in New Hampshire, doing almost literally anything that wasn't giving Larry Sharp money to run for governor of New York. But whatever makes you happy, I guess.
I don't know how much they spent on that guy, but it was what, millions?
It was a lot of money for a governor's
Plus,
race.
I think they got some money from the National Libertarian Party for that as well.
I mean, people had high hopes for it. They're like, this is it. This is the, we're going to get this one. And then it was like, what, the same as ever?
3%? Why would they believe that?
Because they're crazy. They're libertarians. They're already half detached from reality from the beginning.
Yeah, that is part of the problem with trying to get the libertarians to actually wake up and realize they are banging their head up against a brick wall in California or New York or, you know, Illinois or wherever it is they happen to be.
Yeah, that give that you're feeling when you bang your head against that brick wall, that's your skull, that's you. Not the brick.
Yeah, and getting them to, you know, wake up and try to do something different. Try a new approach. And this isn't like some sort of speculative approach that we're just wondering if it's going to work. No, the Free State Project and the migration of freedom lovers to New Hampshire it's proven. It's a proof of concept. It's happening. And we've actually elected freedom-loving people here who are actual, like, self-described anarchists. People who are real libertarians have actually gotten into the state house in fairly large number.
Oh, but it doesn't count because they didn't have that L next to their name.
If that's the kind of person we're dealing with, they really shouldn't come here. The people that are coming here should understand that we need to try from every different aspect to change things. And that's why it's working here, because some of the freedom lovers were willing to change their party to the Republicans or the Democrats and willing to try to run for office that way and actually won. So if you're willing to win, if you want to win, then why don't you just come where people are already winning? Why not come where the largest concentration of freedom-loving people already is? Or you can just keep failing where you are. It's up to you. Meanwhile, they're going to, you know, create an insane police state tyranny, medical authoritarian hellscape all around you. That's not going away. Caller, somebody who wants to be referred to as Caller is on the line here from Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, hey, thanks for that.
Yes,
that was actually a perfect introduction because I wanted to talk about Mark Edge. And the last couple of times that he called in, he was bashing the Free State Project and the idea of moving to New Hampshire, getting out of some of these places that are full of tyranny. I just recently moved from New York. I'm not in a better place now completely, but it is, you know, looking at New York City right now, it is better being where I am now then, but of course New Hampshire I think would be the best overall. But Mark Edge, he very much was just dishing on the Free State Project, saying that there were only very certain people that that New Hampshire could actually work for, and I think it mainly he's like he doesn't like the cold. But what I really wanted to bring up was I got a question. Why can't you, Ian, talk to Mark Edge?
Oh, I'm prohibited from doing so by the federal government bail conditions. There's a list of people I'm not allowed to talk to, including Mark, including Melanie, one of our other previous co-hosts, Daryl Perry.
I was initially on that list.
They claimed that the people who you guys can't talk to are potential witnesses or potentially victims.
Correct. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. But I do agree with you. Mark has I've been calling him One Note Mark recently whenever I hear his calls to the show, because it's literally all he calls about is trash talking the migration to New Hampshire, and it's sad.
He doesn't view it as trash talking, but I think I sort of understand where he's coming from. He's worried about freedom for himself right now. He doesn't want to fight for it. He just wants to pay some money and make it go away.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I get it too.
I don't blame him for it.
But that only helps himself, and I have a more humanitarian approach that, you know, I want everyone to be free, not just myself.
Well, I'm the same way as you, Aria, although I will acknowledge not everyone wants to be free, in which case they can have someone tell them what to do. But everyone who wants it should have it. And I agree with you. Like, I just can't just stand by and do nothing as people are being oppressed who do not want to be oppressed. And so I think working towards a better world is important. And I think that the Free State Project and the New Hampshire migration is the most successful example of how libertarians can actually achieve those goals. And so for him to, you know, to S-talk people who want to move together and actually have an effect. Because he just, by the way, he just straight up denies in a lot of cases a lot of the wins that we've had here. And you know, maybe it's not for him, that's fine. But to get on the air and say that, oh, it's only for three different types of people. I forget what it was. It was the
night
you were
on. He said people who live in the Northeast already, and he wouldn't even, I don't know, he wouldn't even accept that there's winter in like Tennessee.
Yeah.
But anyways.
His list excluded me and wouldn't have had me here in New Hampshire.
Me either.
At the very least. And that was the reason. This is a silly list, Mark. I'm here in New Hampshire. I love it.
Yeah. I don't like it being too cold or whatever, but, you know, to me, it's worth it to be around freedom-loving people. Like,
Mark
for
has
people
a long
that actually
list.
Care about freedom, they should be here.
Absolutely. And, well, Mark disagrees because he's got this long list of places that, in theory, could do the same thing, just in a different place, like the Honduras or whatever. You get enough libertarians there, and you could replicate the Free State Project in a place that is freer, but you're starting from ground zero there with just a possibility, just an idea. Here in New Hampshire, there's actually stuff already happening.
And I don't see why he doesn't understand that there's more of a barrier for moving from, like, Texas to New Hampshire. Or instead of from Texas to New Hampshire, there's more of a barrier to moving to Honduras. It's
a huge barrier for the average person.
Even if it's slightly more similar weather, I hate humidity so much I wouldn't want it more humid than San Antonio.
That's the other thing with Mark is he cannot...
All right, thanks so much.
Oh, he's gone. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. He cannot empathize with somebody who's not in Mark's situation. So Mark's... I noticed that as well
when he was like, all you have to do is fly internationally all the time and just plop your feet in the Marianas. I was like, yeah, that's good for people who are like millionaires, but the average person can't just hop an international flight and go to Honduras whenever they want.
I don't know. I don't think he can remember what it was like to be the average person, which at one time in his life he was, you know. So, like, yeah, I think he's lost connection with that. But I think one of the things he said on that show last week, I think it was the Wednesday night show that you were on, Bonnie.
Yep.
And so if people want to go back and hear it, I don't know. I'm not recommending you do this because it's just the same old caterwauling he's been doing for the last few years. But I think he basically said, oh, yeah, you just need to rearrange your life so you can make money on the internet.
That's what he said, yeah. He said you have to be able to make money online, and then you can do it.
Okay, so you're basically cutting out probably 90% of the potential movers right there. Because
internet's not that great in a lot of these third world countries that are willing to let you do this in the first place.
Well, let's just presume there's good internet. Okay, let's give it that. Let's give that to him, okay? Fine, but that's not appropriate for most people. Like, a plumber, for instance, is not going to be able to just, well, I'll just rearrange my whole career, everything that I've built. I mean, it's enough that we would be asking somebody to move a business, right? To pick up, if they have a business, if they're not just like an employee of something who can get another job. And there's a million jobs. If you want a job, if you don't care where you work... Literally, you can work anywhere you want in New Hampshire right now. They are hiring everywhere, every single place. I think a gentleman was here the other night who we all know, and he's working at Walmart overnight. They're paying $19.50 to start, and they're desperate. They need people, and they're not the only ones. So if you just want to work a job,
dude, McDonald's here doesn't even open on some days.
There's a gas station here that's supposed to be 24 hours a day. It is no longer 24 hours.
Yeah, they need staff. Everyone does, so they're paying top dollar for it.
Jobs are easy to find, but for somebody who's willing to move a business, that's a huge ask. And to try to tell people like that, to tell an entrepreneur, oh yeah, just leave your business and all your expertise behind and work on the internet, and then you can move to my island paradise. It's ridiculous fantasy. There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. Number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
So we were talking the other night about the arrests in New York City at some restaurants, the Cheesecake Factory, and apparently Applebee's as well, groups of people who... you know, wanted to get served some food, but were not willing to show a vaccination passport, were subsequently arrested, I believe, charged with criminal trespass.
Well, I do oppose the vaccine passports. I have to say, people getting arrested for you know, what, insisting on being served at a Cheesecake Factory and an Applebee's sounds like it belongs in a South Park episode. They took my Applebee's away.
The fact that it was like their line in the sand is what really makes it sound like South Park
world. I need my chicken tenders.
Well, and I think that, you know, that definitely backs up what Bonnie was saying earlier. Although that said,
you do have to have a line in the sand somewhere.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation because it is similar to the sit-ins in certain ways, in that people were saying, hey, if you're serving those people over there, you should be serving me because we're all, you know, members of the public and, you know, you're purportedly open to the public. Now, as a libertarian, that kind of rubs me the wrong way in that. Yeah. I feel like, as you said earlier, Aria, a business owner should be able to decide for themselves. But in this case, they're not really deciding for themselves like they were in the case of the sit-ins, where Woolworths was segregated as a business policy. In this case, the business policy is to simply do whatever the government gang tells you in New York City.
That's why government discrimination is the worst form of discrimination, yeah, because everyone has to do it. And you don't get a choice of just taking your business to the one down the street.
Right. And so now we've got another situation, apparently, according to ArtValley818_ on Twitter. New York Police Department has arrested a veteran because he went to Panera Bread without proof of vaccine. I'm just going to play you some of the audio here. Now, right out the gate.
Did he say something about the flag touching the ground?
Yeah.
He said, you can't let the flag touch the ground while the United States is arresting him.
And he was really, like, upset about it, right? And, like, you could hear frustration in his voice. Well, screw that flag. That's all the more reason he should hate that stupid flag.
That's the thing.
That's his religion.
When I saw the headline of this video, I thought, oh, man, you know, this guy's getting arrested. All right, let me check this. Oh, God. Right out the gate. You know, he's literally trying to hold on to the flag. The police, of course, are stripping the flag from him. And as you pointed out, Bonnie,
like, you have to carry the ark on the magic rods on your shoulders, whatever they're called.
The team that you are holding this flag for is doing this to you. Now, I understand the United States government isn't the same as New York City, and it's New York City's vaccination passport. But the U.S. government is not your friend. They are not on the side of freedom.
The White House just came out with a statement saying the unvaccinated are killing people, basically, and they have a winter full of death and serious illness ahead of them.
You should pull that statement up if you can find it. It's been passed around all over the place in the last 24 hours.
I'm sure my winter will be as deadly as it's been for the last 30-something years, which is not very deadly at all for me.
I'm more likely to die of freezing to death if the power goes out than die of, you know, COVID or something like that. Let me go on, though, with some of this here.
Better hope you...
One, two, three, four,
of the United States.
Five.
I count. Violated. I cannot eat.
There are at least five or six uniformed cops milling around. There's only really one or two that are actually in the process of arresting him because he's not meaningfully fighting them or anything like that. He's just, you know, making a statement as he's being arrested about the Constitution. And yeah, that's a dead letter at this point. Yeah. If it ever was in effect or in any way, you know, effective, as I believe Lysander Spooner put it, it was powerless to prevent the tyranny that we have, or has authorized it, one or the other.
In either event, it's useless.
Exactly. Let me go on.
My sisters and brothers cannot work in the NYPD. I'm not resisting. I'm complying 100%.
Now, let's talk about what he just said there. My sisters and brothers cannot work. He says, I cannot eat. My sisters and brothers cannot
work. They took away my Cheesecake Factory.
Well, okay, but I want to be fair to these folks here, Aria. I mean, I've done more than drive through New York City. I've spent a few, you know, probably a couple weeks over the last few years in total I've spent in New York City, maybe 3 weeks or something like that. Because Mark and I used to go up for more than a decade for two nights or one night or two nights, whatever.
Right, and for the Talkers Convention and stuff?
Yeah, for the Talkers Convention, which we'll probably never go to again because they're still having it in New York and there's all kinds of, you know,
yeah, this year you had to be vaccinated.
Yeah, it was at a college campus or something like that.
Yeah.
Not even going to be an option. But when we were going, you know, when you're in New York City, you don't have like Walmart Supercenter or Hannaford International Grocer or, you know, full on grocery stores. Those things don't exist, at least not that I've seen. I mean, maybe there are some of them. I know they exist somewhere, but in my walks around, say, you know, Manhattan, I've never seen it.
Obviously going to be a Walmart Supercenter somewhere.
It's outside
in
of
New
the
York City.
City. No. I think Walmart doesn't exist in New York City. I think you have
really?
To go out to like White Plains or something like that, some town outside of the city to go to a Walmart. And so
that's weird.
For your average city dweller,
what do they have then?
That's the thing.
If they don't have Hannaford's or any of these others,
that's the thing. What they have is sort of these corner markets, basically. And what's the word for it? Bodega, I think, is the word. And so you can go into these things. Some of them have like fresh fruits and some of them, you know, they've got like some meats. And so you can get food in these places. But it is not like what we're used to here, where in Keene, New Hampshire, we can select from four different mega grocers or whatever and go in and get, you know, all manner of different things. You go into this little shop. It's like, you know, maybe the size of this studio in the next room. I mean, it's not, you know, it's just a little corner shop kind of thing.
So it's just like, they have fruit, and that's what they have.
Yeah, you get the fruit that they have, and, you know, you take what you can get. Now, there are some guys on the side of the road sometimes, like the street vendors. Sometimes they got fresh fruit, so you can
find... Right, but if you want vegetables or something, you go to the next bodega, right?
I guess. Like, I've never actually gone food shopping in any meaningful sense, but I've been around the city enough to see that basically city people just eat out.
Okay.
I mean, that's... If you live in the city... You eat out because, in a lot of cases, because there's not that much as far as like shopping that you can do. Most of them don't have a car. So like if you're going to go to the grocery store, you're going on the subway, you know, and you're going in a taxi cab or something like that. So you're literally carrying back to your apartment your groceries. So you're not, it's not like we can do here where we just load up the whole back of the car, load up a chest freezer, load up whatever you got at the house. You can load up your fridge with one shopping trip there. It's like whatever you can carry in your hands is what you're taking home. So it's kind of a different world for a city dweller. So when he says he can't eat, he probably actually means he's having a difficult time feeding himself.
Okay.
But if you're in the city and you want to weigh in on this, 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160, you can join us here. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Bring up whatever you want. Number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Aria.
So we were talking mostly about the bad news out of New York and New York State, where the new tyrant elect there in New York City, he's planning on basically doing everything the health ministers tell him to do, which means, you know, you can expect more COVID tyranny to come soon to New York City. New York State, there may be some coronavirus camps being built, but we haven't seen that bill get passed yet, although we're going to keep our eyes on it. I've got it on my calendar for a couple weeks from now. We'll check in on it and see if anything does transpire with that. But meanwhile, people are being arrested at restaurants like Panera Bread, Cheesecake Factory, and Applebee's. Most recently, it's a veteran who is being assaulted by at least five or six police officers as he just simply was trying to get some, you know, a sandwich or some soup over to Panera Bread, and in the process of...
Why would anyone eat Panera? Everything there is frozen and old, and it costs twice as much as it would anywhere else.
Well, now, I don't know if it's frozen and old. They actually bake it up every night there.
No, they don't. That's a myth.
No, my ex-girlfriend worked there.
I've seen videos that suggest all of the macaroni and stuff arrives frozen.
Well, that's probably true.
But I just think it's not that great. Like, I've went there so many times with my, like, old gay friends in San Antonio because they love it there, and it's just never... amazed me. I hate their mac and cheese.
Well, yeah. That at least I know is frozen.
That's probably true. I'm not going to say there's nothing frozen there, and I don't hold stock with Panera Bread, but right. You know, the baked goods are actually baked in the actual
Maybe that's
location.
The issue. I've never actually had the baked goods. I just get like a sandwich or something like that.
Yeah, they got an overnight guy that, you know, does that work, basically.
They used to be pretty good, to be fair. It was worth the extra money because it is like $30 a meal for a person instead of $20 like at most places. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's more expensive.
Food. It's fancy fast food. Yeah. That's all Panera is.
But since COVID-19, dude, the one here in Keene, their quality has just plummeted. Oof. It's trash.
Yikes. I've never went to it because it has the look of an old Panera Bread. Mm-hmm. It doesn't attract me at all because it looks so old. It looks like a Panera Bread from the 90s.
And you're their target market. You know, like young females. I think that's probably a target market for Panera Bread.
You've never wanted to go to that one. It looks old.
I want to go to your phone calls here. We've got Turd Ferguson on the line in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Turd.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just wanted to call in and respond to the guy caller that called in the last segment.
Yeah.
About Mark. Yeah. And I got to say, listen, I can kind of sympathize with Mark's position on all this. And I believe I've probably called in about this once before or something similar, but I gotta say, and I'll try to be as coherent as possible. Sorry, I've been smoking a lot of marijuana tonight. So I believe that moving to New Hampshire is probably good if you're willing to make it your life's mission to make New Hampshire like an anarcho-capitalist utopia. And you're willing to go up there and put in a bunch of hours and fight for freedom and do all that stuff. For anybody else that kind of wants that wants guaranteed freedom in a finite amount of time or in a goal setting oriented amount of time, it's probably better off if you don't find freedom in New Hampshire and just find it elsewhere.
Well, get real, because there is no such thing as guaranteed freedom. You're not just going to uncover some sort of free commune or whatever where you can just live unmolested.
I mean, I think you're getting at is Mark's idea of, you know, just don't plant roots. Just travel everywhere. Just take flights everywhere.
The digital nomad?
Yeah, but that's so inordinately expensive for the average person. If you didn't buy Bitcoin back in 2011 or something like that, that's just a fantasy.
Well, I would recommend doing the Five Flags program, and that's what Caleb Jones, who's advertised on Free Talk Live before, that's what he recommends.
And what does that mean? What is a Five Flags?
So Five Flags.
Keep in mind, we're hearing this from someone who knows about this program but chooses to remain in Pennsylvania.
well, listen, I'm building a studio here in Pennsylvania, so I'll always maintain this building in Pennsylvania. But Five Flags is when you maintain all aspects of your life in different countries. So you maintain your citizenship in one country, in your primary residence in one country, and your secondary residence in another country, and your investments in another country, and you buy all your stuff in a place with no income taxes, and you set up all your businesses in another country.
I think you already have to be rich.
So you support this idea?
No.
You think it's a good idea?
You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be rich. It's a good idea, and it works.
But you haven't done it.
I'm doing it now. I'm setting up. I'm right now. I'm setting up my businesses, or at least trying to, overseas, so that I don't have to pay taxes. And I plan on.
How are you not going to pay taxes if you're located in the United States?
Because I'm gonna spend 6 months and one day in another country that I'm not going to mention on the air right this second. But there are a lot of countries that you can go and you can. And by the way, there are ways.
So you mentioned your studio for a moment ago, right? You like your studio. You want to keep it, right? You're attached to it.
I'm keeping the studio here in Pennsylvania, the music studio here in Pennsylvania. Yes, I'm attached to that. Yes.
So you're willing to spend more than half of the rest of your life away from this thing that you're attached to in order to have this precarious notion of freedom.
Sure I am, because I'm not going to, well, I don't need to, I mean, look, I've got a really, I am an audio genius. I can get a lot of
It's really clear from your phone call.
Audio equipment. I'm sorry?
No, I'm joking with you. Go ahead.
Okay. I can get a lot of really good audio equipment that's small and sits on a small desk in my room in this foreign country in a villa, that I would purchase for a well below market value that it would sell the United States.
When I hear people talking about getting a villa in a foreign country, that sounds to me like it's something that rich people can afford to do.
It's not. Well, in some countries. I mean, if you're going to buy a villa in the United Arab Emirates in Dubai or something like that, yeah, that's probably going to be pretty expensive. But there are countries out there, and you got to do some research. I'm not just going to.
What about when COVID-19 shuts down the world and you can't just travel wherever you want?
Yes, you can. You can.
No, I'm asking, like, in the future,
if you've got enough money to buy a private airplane, then you can, right?
No. All you have to do is get multiple. You can get multiple citizenships. You don't need to do all this nonsense.
Because that's cheap, right? Just getting a citizenship somewhere else, totally affordable, right? Was it $400,000 in St. Kitts?
It's more affordable than you think. It doesn't cost that much money. I'm telling you, it doesn't.
Okay. What are we talking about?
Some countries. Huh?
How much are we talking about?
I'm talking just like maybe a few grand tops.
The average American lives paycheck to paycheck, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. So let us know, where are you going to get your first extra citizenship?
Well, come on. You want me to just tell you that on the air? Come on, that's not fair.
Why is this? Is it like a secret?
You just mentioned this is a scheme of yours in order to avoid paying taxes on the air.
You're going to blow up my spot.
What? Well, it's a reserved spot? There's only so many of these available?
Well, it's going to be a pretty popular place if I say it on a radio show that broadcasts to 50,000.
Why wouldn't you want to tell people this? If you want to help people get out of tyranny, why wouldn't you?
Let's go buy it while it's cheap.
Listen. Here's a couple suggestions I have. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going, but here's where I would look into.
It's an entire country. Wherever the hell it is you're going, you don't have to say what street you're going to live on. Just where the hell are you going to get a passport
from?
It's
a very little narrow strip of land in Honduras called Mark Edge's Freedom Kingdom.
Oh, I see. Are you going down there? Are you going to Mark's Kingdom?
I've only asked Mark a few questions about his kingdom so far. It seems like a pretty badass place.
I bet Mark will give you a passport for a few grand. Thanks for the call tonight. Number here is 603-283-6160. Look, if it's so cheap and it's such a good idea, why wouldn't you want to share it with people? Like, for instance, Roger Ver, longtime sponsor here on the show, on his YouTube channel, he just had a video put up about St. Kitts and Nevis. Now, it ain't cheap. Last I heard, it was $400,000 to buy the citizenship thing there in Nevis. Basically, they want you to invest in the country and, you know, to bring jobs and buy stuff. But he's talking about it. He's telling the world about it. He's saying, this is what I did. If you can afford it, he thinks you should do it too. He's not afraid to explain it. More coming up. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Aria.
And don't forget, you can join us online anytime you want. We've got a social media website. It is social.freetalklive.com. It's run by us, not the big tech companies, not the mega corporations that want to tell you what you can and can't say. You can have a lot more freedom to express yourself over at social.freetalklive.com. It is a Mastodon-based system, which means it's open source, it's self-hosted, and it actually works pretty well. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. As we go back to the phones here, I believe, I think this is Major Payne. Major Payne, are you with us?
Yeah, it's him. You guys didn't scream. You did not expect you to call her back so quick.
Here you are.
So, let's see. I want to start with the origination of the Wuhan virus. It was probably a good year before it hit our shores. There's a... an Olympiad of military athletes, all the, like the Green Berets, basically from every clan around the world, they have this Olympiad. And this thing happened in a lake or along a river that was adjacent to the Wuhan Viral Institute. The theory is that one of the infected fish from one of the holding ponds jumped the dam, or busted out during a bad rain or whatever, But, yeah, there were all kinds of colonels and whatnot that were honored in their countries that went back and died before the spread of this thing hit wherever it was going to hit. So this thing got spread through the world right quick. And then we go to this South
My
African
only
area.
Concern with that is that you say a lot of these people died. COVID-19 doesn't generally kill people.
Well, there's a lot of places in the world that are deficient in certain minerals and vitamins. This is a disease that attacks the telomeres.
But these are as you said, colonels, and they're green berets and from around the world in different countries. I mean, they're in top-notch physical condition regardless of where they're from.
Correct, but if you're
COVID-19 doesn't kill people like that.
If you're nutritionally deficient, this thing can take you out.
Well, the colonels are probably not in top shape. Those are fat bureaucrats True. And politicians.
But you're also nutritionally deficient if you're competing in an Olympiad
That's
for
true.
Green Berets. I mean, come on, man. These people were 250 pounds of raw muscle.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a lot of theories about where this thing started. I don't really think it matters. What matters is where this is going. What matters is what they're doing to us.
We still have this Wuhan Institute, and they have not quit working, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, this thing just hit Africa, and Africa has been dosing with quinine or some variant thereof to fight malaria for, by God, ever since the Brits invaded the damn thing, you know, about 100 years ago at least. And they have, so I'm thinking that they have had to reform this virus to attack that populace.
Who
and
knows?
The variant that's coming out of there is much less, it's more dominant as far as infection, but it's much less heinous to its host. And if you look at viruses all down through history, their theory is not to kill their host, because if they kill their host, they cannot reprocreate. Okay?
Right.
Yeah, but they'll get weaker if they don't kill. They'll still get weaker and weaker over time if they don't kill the host, because they. Yeah, the immune system.
So, what would the government's goal be in the scenario of creating a weaker strain of the virus that doesn't kill the host? What would the government's goal be?
Well, that's not the government's goal. This is just a twist that the snake took on them. They can't control this thing. They've never. Last time Obama threw a flu shot, he killed more people than he saved.
Thank you, Major Payne, for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a lot like the people who spend time obsessing over 9/11. And trying to figure out who really did 9/11. Was it the Bilderberg Group? Was it the, you know, George W. Bush? Was it, you know, who was behind this?
Well, I feel pretty sure, based on the collapse of Building 7, that the towers were not brought down by planes, for whatever that's worth. But I don't know who did it.
Yeah, I don't know either. But people obsess over this stuff, and they've been obsessing over it for years. And it's like, to me, what mattered most was what they did to us afterwards. The Patriot Act, the Department of Homeland Security, the rise of the total authoritarian police state.
The 20 years of unending war.
Yes. So to me, that's what matters here, is not who at the Wuhan lab was responsible or who funded it or whatever. I mean, that's a sideshow as far as I'm concerned.
I do have the quote from the President Biden.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was getting passed around all over the place. This is like,
speaking of, you know, what they're still doing to us.
Holiday wishes from the White House.
This is the quote that was getting passed around a lot because it's one of the craziest little paragraphs. And this is at whitehouse.gov. We are intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work in school for the vaccinated. You've done the right thing. And we will get through this. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm. I have an article.
I don't particularly find that shocking or alarming or anything like that. It's just the same crap they've been saying.
It's a little bit more in your face of like, all right, you're going to die this winter.
We're
going to
kill our families and friends and stuff. Oh, good thing they got the virus then, and it's going to keep them safe, right? It's just garbage. It's nonsense. It's more of the virus is totally not effective, but but you're going to kill the people who got the vaccine is totally effective, but you're going to kill people who got the vaccine because you're unvaccinated. What kind of garbage line is that? And that's essentially what they're saying.
It's total fear-mongering.
If all the unvaccinated die, I mean, don't shed any tears over us because we did choose to remain unvaccinated, and, you know, That would just be us reaping the consequences that we had coming.
Consider me unconcerned about what's coming this winter as far as that's concerned. But I got a couple of other quickies here that I've been holding on to for a couple days. Just some world updates for you. Netherlands going into strict Christmas lockdown, according to Reuters, over Christmas and New Year's. They say to try to contain the highly contagious Omicron variant. Of course, none of this stuff worked before, so this isn't going to work now, but nonetheless, they're going to try it all again, including closing non-essential so-called shops and services like restaurants, hairdressers, museums, and gyms will be closed until Sunday, January 14th. So those folks
are people going to wake the hell up? The whole point of the lockdowns was just until we can get the vaccine, or actually it was just so we don't overwhelm the hospitals and flatten the curve, and then it was so we can get the vaccine out there, so we can get people, people are vaccinated.
Yeah.
And here come the lockdowns and masks again.
All over again.
None of the crap you did to appease your government masters made a difference.
Nope. Now you're going to have to sacrifice another month's worth of revenue, presuming they actually do let this up in January, which will be in the middle of wintertime. And by that time, they'll see that people are still dying or they're getting cases because, you know, they don't report the deaths that much. It's more
and
the cases.
What a random date. If it's we're locking down for Christmas, I kind of get the logic, at least, is supposed to be, oh, people will gather during Christmas, but then why all the way 2 weeks into January?
Because they can.
Yeah. Quote, the Netherlands is again shutting down, according to Prime Minister Mark Rutte. That is unavoidable because of the fifth wave that is coming at us with the Omicron variant.
Five waves in 2 years, people. Come on. We're just going to have to deal with this thing and get on with our lives.
Other measures include a recommendation that households receive no more than two visitors and that gatherings outside are limited to a maximum of two people.
Did you say recommendation or requirement?
Well, you know how the news is when they'll say one thing, but it may actually be a requirement. It's not clear. According to this. So that's a little bit there for from the Netherlands. More closer to home, Ontario province in Canada is rolling out a new suite of restrictions for businesses and social gatherings as they contend with a spike in COVID-19 cases. This according to CBC.ca, the official
government. Who could have seen this coming this winter? If only we had more nurses and doctors for hospitals.
Effective at 12:01 a.m. yesterday, indoor social gathering limits will be reduced from 25 people to 10 people, and outdoor gatherings are reduced from 100 to 25. Doug Ford, the cousin or brother of that old crack-smoking mayor in Toronto, Rob Ford. You remember that guy from a few years ago? He says, we need to meet this variant.
Doug Ford.
Doug Ford's his brother. I believe his the guy who's dead, the crack smoker's name was Rob Ford.
But I thought that Doug was the crack smoker.
It wouldn't surprise me if Doug smoked some crack, too. We need to meet this variant head on. We need to do everything we can to push back. So they'll be reducing capacity at businesses like restaurants, malls, gyms, personal care services down to 50%. Marinas, boating clubs, pharmacies, indoor recreational. So the same old crap coming down your throat, you know, shoving down your throat once again here from governments all around the world.
It'll be here in New Hampshire in just a few weeks.
We'll see about that. So far, Sununu seems to be worried about his prospects for getting reelected next year. But you may be right, Arya. We're coming up. Or tomorrow. See you.